very easily and return to Krishna. Awaken the, and vibrantly awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness within the hearts of every living being. So, I'd like to begin with some images. When we think of Krishna, we think of this beautiful form, Sri Bhanga Lalitam Shama Sundara, Krishna who's standing in his threefold bending form, beautiful in color like a darkish rain cloud, holding his vamsi, and attracting with his flute sound the hearts and the minds of all the residents of Braja. Not only the human beings, the gopis and the gopas, but the cows, the peacocks. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The trees and the creepers, all the birds, even the river Jamuna. When the river Jamuna hears Krishna playing on his flute, she stops flowing to hear the sound of Krishna's flute. The birds that are flying in the sky, they become stunned and can't fly anymore. They fall to the ground, stunned, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. Everything that's moving stops, and everything that's stopped starts moving. In ecstasy, in jubilant ecstasy, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. Because it's transcendental. The personality of Godhead is fully transcendental. And everything he does is fully transcendental. Somehow this is not working. So, I don't know why. This is the mechanism. It was working before. What? So you have some advance? Is it stuck? That's why it's not advancing. There we go. So what I'm going to express is based upon the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. I first met Srila Prabhupada when I was in pre-med school at my university, and I heard the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, just as you were chanting with Panchatattva Prabhu, and he was encouraging you to chant. The Prabhupada was chanting with all the college students, and I thought, this is very nice. But it was more than very nice. It changed my life. Just hearing the sound of Krishna's holy name from the lips of a pure devotee. I didn't understand exactly what was happening, but it was happening. And the teachings, similarly, the teachings of Shuddha Bhakti, can have the same action upon one's heart. Simply hearing Krishna Katha. Shrinvatam Svat Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyan Taksto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Bhagavatam explains that this Krishna Katha is so wonderful, it removes from the heart all abhadras, everything that's inauspicious, at once is removed from the heart. The potency is there for that to happen. So let's see what happens this evening, hearing Krishna Katha. This is a very nice painting of the spiritual sky. In the vastness of the spiritual sky, there are innumerable spiritual planets. Those planets are known as Vaikuntha planets, where Lord Narayan presides. And amongst the innumerable Vaikuntha planets, there's one pictured over on the right side, shaped like a lotus, called Krishna Loka. And in Krishna Loka, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna resides. And he resides with, just as Lakshmi is the eternal consort of Narayana, So also Radha is the eternal consort of Krishna. And if you look very carefully in the lower right hand corner, you'll see something that's a little different than the Vaikuntha planet. It's called the material world. It's a cloud, just like coming here to St. Louis. It's a very bright sunny day, but there are some cumulus clouds in the sky. So in the vastness of the spiritual sky, there's also a cloud of material energy called Mahatattva. And in that Mahatattva, if you see very carefully, there's a form of Mahavishnu. See right here? There's the cloud. And there's Mahavishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself for the purpose of creation in one of his Kala expansions, or a portion of a plenary portion. And in this clouded portion, in the Mahatattva, a cloud of material energy, Mahavishnu reclines, and from the pore holes of his body, when he exhales, universes come out. They start as little seeds. They're called, they're golden in color, and they expand and expand and expand. You know, the modern scientists have this view that the universe is expanding. Well, guess what? The universe is expanding. The universe is expanding because it's expanding from the body of Mahavishnu. But the Vedas teach us that when the Lord inhales, those universes are withdrawn and they go back to their elemental state and are in a resting state within the body of Mahavishnu until he again exhales. And in this way, the picture of Vedic time is cyclical. Just like the seasons are cyclical, everything in the Vedic perspective is cyclical. So within this one creation of this one universe, there's an earth planet out of many, 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 so many planets. And Mother Earth, one time when the earth was overburdened with too many demoniac kings, she assumed the form of a cow and came before the devas and requested, particularly Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, "My dear Lord Brahma, you are the creator. You are the most powerful person in this universe. I am in great distress. Phalanxes of powerful demoniac kings have overburdened my earth planet, me. And so I've assumed this form of a cow to come and plead with you. Please bring some relief." So Lord Brahma assembled the various devatas. He came to the shore of the milk ocean. You can tell it's an ocean because there's some fish, see? There's some fish. And here is Anantashesh with his hoods covering Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu, in addition to expanding the universes, he enters within each of those universes that he expands as Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu. And then Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu expands within the heart of every living being as Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu. So these three Purushas, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu, and Shiro Dakshayi Vishnu, or Paramatma, the Lord of the Heart, are present everywhere, the all-pervasive Supreme. But he's also situated in a localized fashion on this ocean of milk on a white island, Svetadvipa. So they came and they offered some very wonderful prayers. Do you know what prayers they offered? They offered the Purusha Sukta prayers from Rig Veda, because they're prayers to the Purusha avatars. And after reciting these beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu, nobody heard a response except one person. That one person was Lord Brahma, because he has special Vishnu receiver. within his heart. It's called Shuddha Bhakti. Because of pure devotion, he was able to receive the response. Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry. Very soon I will advent myself in this world." So he gave a promise to appear. And he also gave two other instructions. He said, "As Mother Earth has requested, I will relieve the earth from the burden of these demoniac kings." Then one other thing he requested, "Please tell all the demigods that they should appear on earth first in the Yadu and Andaka dynasties. They should appear so that they could assist me in my pastimes." So, Rama conveyed the message to the demigods. The demigods appeared in the Yadu dynasty. They were very happy to not only know that the Lord would relieve Mother Earth, but that they would get a chance to see his wonderful pastimes. Just as Krishna promises, we can recite these verses together because you all know them, especially the children. Children? Okay. Do you know this verse? Yada yada hi dharmasya vanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduspritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Very important verses in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes srijami aham. He manifests himself by his own will. It's not an ordinary kind of appearance. Did any one of us, did somebody ask us, "My dear sir or madam, what family would you like to appear in this time around?" And I said, "Oh, I think I'd like this family, and I'd like to be born over there, and I'd like to be born a boy or a girl, and I think I'd like to go to this school and get this." Do we decide any of those things?
No.
But Krishna decides, srijamyaham. By his own internal potency, Krishna appeared. And therefore, his appearance is divyam, or transcendental. During the wedding of Devaki and Vasudev, Devaki simultaneously married several sisters because he was a king, but the principal queen was to be Devaki. As the chariot was going from the wedding, so they're already married, to Vasudev's residence, Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, was driving the chariot. And then what happened? Kamsa heard a voice from the sky.
"Kamsa, you are such a fool! The child of Devaki will kill you!"
That's all Kamsa needed to hear. He's a demon. Although it's his sister and it's her wedding day, he immediately grabbed her by the hair with one hand, grabbed his sword with the other hand, raised his sword ready to cut off her head. Nice brother. Who needs enemies when you have brothers like that? But Vasudeva was expert. He was also a kshatriya, but a particular kind of kshatriya. He was a minister that knew the art of diplomacy, and by various means he persuaded Kamsa to allow Devaki to live and promised that he would give each one of the children born of Devaki to Kamsa, who he could then do with as he wished. Fast forwarding, six children of Devaki were killed by Kamsa. The seventh child of Devaki was transferred. It was Balaram. He was transferred by Yogamaya from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, a
another one of the wives of Vasudeva. But Balaram was the older brother. He prepared the way for Krishna to appear. And Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa as the eighth child of Devaki. When he appeared, first he appeared, as we see, in this four-armed form of Vishnu. No children appear like this, as far as I know. Ask any pediatrician. Have you ever seen this one? No, very different. Not only full height of stature, but wearing a crown and a very long Vaijayanti garland down to his knees, and ornaments, bangles, the symbols of Vishnu, long, beautiful hair, bedecked with jewels and ornaments and the Kastuba gem, all the signs of Lord Vishnu. Immediately Devaki and Vasudeva offered their wonderful prayers. Finally Vasudeva pleaded with Krishna, please assume a small childlike form. Why was he saying like that? His external reason was, Kamsa is such a demon, when he finds out that you've been born, he'll immediately come here and try to kill you. So better to assume a childlike form. Then we can try to hide you. Does it make any sense? He just offered prayers to the personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is invincible. He's Ajita. He's Achyuta. He's supreme. And who's Kamsa? Easily, Vishnu could defeat Kamsa. But because of his parental affection, the mystery of Krishna's appearance and activities is centered around love. Vasudeva and Devaki had such love for Krishna. They wanted him to assume a childlike form so their parental affection could be fully satisfied. That was the real reason. Krishna said, all right, I'll assume a childlike form, but as soon as I do, I'd like you to make an arrangement for me to be taken out of the prison for safety. Take me on the other side of the Jamuna River to Gokula and place me by the side of Mother Jasoda so she can care for me. So this is another verse we can chant together. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatpataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. Krishna's janma and his birth and his activities are divyam, fully transcendental. Following Krishna's instruction, Vasudeva carried Krishna across the river Jamuna. It was midnight, and he didn't have any street lights or lamps. So fully clouded sky, no stars or moon. Therefore, Lord Ananta, with jewels on his head, he lit up the way. Krishna is also self-effulgent, and Ananta shielded Krishna from the torrential rain that very night. And the river Jamuna parted. There's stories in other scriptures. In the Bible, there's a description of the parting of the Red Sea. Well, even when Krishna was first born, the river Jamuna parted so Krishna could cross. And once he reached the other side, just as instructed, he placed Krishna by the side of Mother Jasoda and took the female child back into the prison house of Kamsa. And when Kamsa heard that the eighth child of Devaki was born, he tried to kill that child, but instead Mother Durga flew out of his hand just as he was ready to smash the child on a slab of stone and said the same thing as the voice had said. Kamsa, you are such a fool. The eighth child, Devaki, has already been born and is now elsewhere, so don't kill any more children needlessly. Kamsa was afraid. He apologized to Devaki for his heinous activity. Meanwhile, Mother Jasoda, as per the desire of Krishna, to fulfill her motherly affection, Vatsalya, rasa. The affection of parents toward a child is parental affection, but when it's centered upon the personality of Godhead, it's the perfection. Or say it the other, any affection that parents have for their small children is but a shadow of that happiness that's found in the spiritual realm. Mother Yasoda, loving Krishna, although he had pastimes just like a small boy, he's the personality of Godhead. And the pastimes that he performed, he exhibited his divinity. Even from 3 weeks old, by killing of Putana, the witch who came to kill him. The nice B.G. Sharma painting depicting Krishna, because the elder gopis, they wanted to have enjoyment with Krishna completely. Just as Krishna did in rasa dance, he would sometimes expand himself into multiple forms of Krishna just so they could enjoy with him, thinking, Krishna has such affection for me alone. His internal potency, he can expand himself and allow the living entity to think as the elder gopis were thinking. This is my son. He's the personality of Godhead. He's nobody's son. He loves me alone. He loves every living entity. But Krishna can fulfill that desire of all living entities. Just as a very simple woman, a fruit vendor in Braja, Krishna came out of the house. He had practically nothing to offer. In his hand he was carrying what a little child's hand can carry, palmful of rice, to offer to the fruit vendor. And even as he was walking, the rice was falling through the cracks in his fingers. But he extended what he had. May I have some of the fruits from your fruit basket? She was so much appreciative of this darling little boy. She took whatever was in her basket and offered it all to Krishna with love. And when she looked back in her basket, what did she find? She found that her basket was filled with jewels. Even better than jewels is the loving exchange with the personality of Godhead. For one who's fixed in devotion, it's not what one gets back in terms of material goods, but it's the loving exchange that's so important for the devotee. So Krishna enjoyed with Balaram, although they're eternal associates, childhood pastimes. Who can imagine simply gazing into one another's eyes like little boys, but they're fully conscious, supreme personalities, and had dear affection for the cows. So one of Krishna's other names is Gopal. Gopal. Krishna the cowherd boy. Every day when he became just 4 years of age, normally boys wouldn't go until they were six, but Krishna was precocious. He went; they let him go early. Mother Yasoda, so attached to Krishna, adjusting his garland, making sure he had enough samosas in his lunch bag, making sure his turban was on right, making sure that Balaram would look after him in case there was any danger. Such love and affection Mother Yasoda had for Krishna. And every day when Krishna would return from the pasturing ground, this is such a beautiful painting. It depicts all of the five transcendental rasas in one painting. What are those five rasas or exchanges of love with Krishna? Our scriptures teach Shanta, that's neutrality. Dasya, servitorship. Sakya, friendship. Vatsanya, parental affection. And Madhurya, conjugal affection. In this one painting, all five are depicted. The land, the trees, the cows, they're in Shanta. And Dasya, those who simply want to serve Krishna. those that have no other interest but just to be Krishna's servant. His cowherd boyfriends, Sakyaras. Parental, Mother Yasoda, Ananda Maharaj, Vatsalyarasa. And the gopis, with smiles and furtive glances, gazing upon Krishna, very anxious to offer whatever Krishna would accept. This is Vrindavan, a land of loving relationship with Krishna and all the varieties of rasa. Of course, persons are most particularly fascinated by this pastime, the pastime of Radha and Krishna enjoying in the company of the gopis. Here we have a picture of Lalita and Vishakha. And Radha and Krishna are enjoying taking... She's cooked for Krishna. Krishna's accepting the remnants of her nice cooking by the side of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, with some gopis singing very nice songs. Our practice of sadhana bhakti in our present stage is a preparation for this stage. But sometimes Radha exhibits her man lila. She becomes angry with Krishna. The angry with Krishna mood is just to enhance Krishna's happiness. Radha wants nothing but the happiness of Krishna. But part of the happiness of Krishna is that Radha becomes angry. It's not like, you know, boy, girl, and she's playing hard to get. And it's not like that. That's mundane. This is transcendental. This is Radha has such intense love for Krishna, she knows just how to please the heart of Krishna. So though tears are coming from her eyes, you can see the little smile. And as Radha is dealing in... Oh, look over here. Here's one of the gopis looking through the bush to see the pastime of Krishna like this. And Krishna's also crying and feelings of separation from Radha. This is the personality of Godhead, whose love is so intense for his own devotee that he will do anything for his own devotee. Even he'll break his own promise, as he did with Bhishma Dev. Krishna broke his own promise just to uphold the wish of Bhishma Dev and to protect Arjuna on the battlefield. After 12 years of forest life as a cowherd boy, Krishna returned to Mathura, where he had been born. It was by an invitation of Kamsa, sent by Kura to come bring him to Vrindavan, to Mathura. And although the residents of Mathura had never seen Krishna, just like we could say we've never seen Krishna, but we've heard of Krishna. We've all heard of Krishna. The residents of Mathura had heard of Krishna, just like Rukmini. She had never seen Krishna, but she heard of Krishna. And because she had heard of Krishna, she gave her heart to Krishna. These are the brahmanas receiving Krishna as he's entering into Mathura. There's the big elephants. There's the big palaces of Mathura, completely unlike anything Krishna had experienced in Vrindavan. And they're worshipping him. The little brahmana boys, the elder brahmanas in Mathura, making offerings and worshipping Krishna as he enters Mathura. And after some time, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. For most of us, I'll share a little anecdotal piece of information. I just flew here from Chicago on Southwest Airlines. The last time before I was flying on Southwest Airlines, the stewardesses, Americans, I went up after, you know, they turned the light so you can go use the bathroom, went to use the bathroom. And they had me standing up in the front where, according to FAA regulations, you can't stand. They had me stand there for 2 hours, asking me questions about Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness. I was looking down the aisle at all the people who were looking at me saying, you know, you're breaking the federal law. You're standing up there in the front of the, right by the cockpit, right where the pilot sits. And question after question after question. And every question they had, it was really wonderful Every single question had its answer in Bhagavad Gita. Every single question had its answer in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita not just for Arjuna, but to fulfill his promise. Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya shuduskritam dharma samsthapanartaya, to reestablish dharma. In this age of Kali, dharma is practically missing. What is adharma is accepted to be dharma, and what is dharma nobody knows. Or something of an idea, but not a clear idea. So Bhagavad Gita's very clear understanding. I'm going to encourage every one of you, I'll say it again, every one of you, you must have some Bhagavad Gita in your home. But if you have a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is, there are copies on our book table here and downstairs, take a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is to your home and read it. Just yesterday evening, I was attending a program in Chicago in somebody's home, and a well-educated South Indian man was saying like this, you know, I have my degrees, I've studied Bhagavad Gita, I've attended discussions in Bhagavad Gita before. I never met the man, but he's been coming for like, he said 2 months, every Friday for 2 months. And from the discussion in Bhagavad Gita, he said three things. I see, I can understand things that I never understood before. Although I grew up with this, I never understood them. Second is, I can see things shifting in my life, like, you know, within my heart. I feel differently. He gave an example of anger. Little things sometimes would trigger me and I would become angry. But now there's this pause, this space, this position of feeling with Krishna, and I don't become angry anymore. Then he said, third thing, he said, I can see externally, events are happening in my life that were not happening before. That I like this Bhagavad Gita discussion. So most of you, not all, but most of you are from India, and you've grown up with Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. I invite you, I humbly plead with you, take Bhagavad Gita as it is with you to your home, and let that be an entry into this divyam, the transcendental understanding of Krishna's position. When Krishna heard Bhagavad, when Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, he spoke the following verse we can recite together. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Devyam Adi Devam Acham Vibhum. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. Ajam Vibhum. So, take this experience of the Krishna Janmasthami festival into your heart. Take the Bhagavad Gita with you into your home. And hopefully, the message will do for you like it did for this nice young man who spoke last night. This is a picture of, in the sequel of Bhagavad Gita, or our knowledge about Krishna, also comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Maharaj Parikshit, received by Maharaj Parikshit, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, and revealed in that transcendental literature is the whole spiritual world. There's a very beautiful painting of the four Kumaras and their experience of the kingdom of God. When I was a small boy growing up in America, I grew up in a Christian family, and I used to ask, when you go to the kingdom of God, what's it like? What do you do there? And everybody laughed. Said, oh, that's cute. But I was serious. I wanted to know. What's it like in the kingdom of God? It wasn't until I read the Srimad Bhagavatam that I knew what the kingdom of God was. What it actually is like. The description is there. As the four Kumaras entered into the seven dwarams, into the gates of Vaikuntha, and they came to the final gate, what they saw, what they experienced is described. the nature of the kingdom of God and the relationships amongst the associates of the kingdom of God makes it so inviting to want to regain our natural position in the spiritual world instead of this one, being dictated to by the three modes of material nature. While we're thinking we're independent, we're controlled by material nature, but we're meant to become free from that condition by taking shelter of Krishna. So that's our purpose in Krishna Janmashtami. We hope that your path back to Krishna is enhanced by joining us. Thank you very much. Thank you.